Thank you. My name is Crispin, and I'm a PhD researcher at the University of Southampton. And we'll talk about safe reinforcement learning. So the first half of the presentation will be theoretical. We'll define what reinforcement learning is, when is it safe, and so on. In the second half, we'll talk about practical scenarios, which hopefully will sort of clear things up. So when do we use reinforcement learning? When we want to solve control problems. So you can imagine we have a robotic arm that we want to control with an algorithm, or that we have a space shuttle that should land on a moon. And what these scenarios have in common is that there is an agent that interacts with an environment. The agent is choosing actions, and the environment reacts to those actions by choosing actions, by choosing states and rewards, sorry. Mathematically, the environment is defined as a set of states, as a Markov decision process with a set of states, set of actions, reward function, and a transition function. The goal of this process is to find an agent that maximizes an optimality criterion. The optimality criterion is a long-term sum of rewards that come from the environment. Now, the agent's life cycle has two phases. First is the training phase, and then we have the deployment phase. So in the training phase, the agent explores the environment by taking random actions, and over time it starts exploiting what it has learned about the environment to get further. Now, when we are happy that that the agent has been trained, we deploy it, and then the agent only exploits what it has learned. It doesn't explore anymore, it doesn't take random actions, it just does the same action over and over. Now, the training is done with respect to the optimality criterion. So we want to find an agent that maximizes that long-term sum of rewards coming from the environment. Open source software is a great enabler of reinforcement learning. We have Gymnasium with a bunch of toy examples, Atari games, physics-based games, and so on. We have physics simulators like Mujoco that is used in robotics research but can be used in reinforcement learning as well. We can have traffic control and self-driven vehicles with Sumo and Carla, or multi-agent scenarios where the agent cooperate or compete. Now, this shows the breadth of applications that reinforcement learning can have. And obviously, if your scenarios can match one of these simulators, they are all open source, you can extend them and use them in your training. Of course, in many scenarios, you'll have to create your own environment. And here is a simple example on how to do that. So you would import Gymnasium package, extend the environment class, and among the things that you have to define would be a step function. Now, the step function accepts the agent's action and returns a reward and a state. So basically, it defines how the environment behaves. Similarly, you would have a class of agent that accepts the state and returns an action. And so this is the loop we have seen before, but in code. This example is simplified, but if you head to the Gymnasium documentation, you will see something very similar there. Now, why do we care about safe reinforcement learning? Because an agent maximizing an optimality criterion has to be creative, and this creativity can be very dangerous. Last year, we have seen this scenario from US Air Force where they said that their AI drone killed a human operator because the operator was stopping it from maximizing a signal. Now, that didn't happen. It was a hypothetical scenario, okay, but it's a really good example of why we want to make reinforcement learning safe. So safety in this case means controlling the behaviors that the agent can discover over the training phase. Now, we have two options when we want to include safety in the reinforcement learning process. Either we modify the optimality criterion that the agent is maximizing, and if this optimality criterion contains some safety information and the agent maximizes it during the training phase, it will become safer as well. Or we can modify the agent's actions. And again, you know, if we do it correctly, we can prohibit certain actions from being taken and again increase safety of the agent. Now, I'll give you two examples of this. Let's start by modification of the optimality criterion. So we begin with a Markov decision process with a set of states, set of actions, a reward function, and a transition function. Now, we would like to add a function h to it that contains the safety information that we want to pass to the agent. This function h is inferred from data in more complicated scenarios. And on how to do that, I refer you to the paper. But here, I'm just going to self-engineer it because it's a simple scenario. So on the left, you see the new optimality criterion, right? So now we want to find an agent that maximizes the long-term sum of rewards as well as the function h. And that's how we can, you know, that's one example of changing the optimality criterion to include safety information. So let's imagine that we have a reward function that rewards the agent for reaching the goal with 100 points and gives it a minus 1 point otherwise. This motivates the agent to complete the goal as fast as possible. And then let's say that we have inferred this function h from data and that it punishes the agent for going into the water, right, with minus 100 points. So in a trajectory where the agent avoids all water, we get a bunch of minus ones and 100 at the end. And the function h isn't used in this example. But in a trajectory where we go through water, the agent is punished by this function h. And this enables it to distinguish between these two trajectories. And when the training phase is over, it will naturally start avoiding these water tiles, right? And this example is obviously very simple, but it works in much more bigger and, you know, scalable scenarios than this. And so some properties is that here we have safety only during the deployment phase, not the training phase, right? The agent has to try all the dangerous stuff in order to realize that they are bad and avoid them doing that in the deployment phase. Similarly, we have to have the data set of safe behaviors because we needed to infer the function h from it, right? So again, these safe behaviors could be easy or difficult to obtain depending on your scenario. And in this example, we don't need to define what safety actually means because it's implicitly contained in the data set. And again, you know, defining safe behaviors can be actually pretty hard when you think about it. And if you could have a data set that just contains all the safe trajectories and you can learn from it, that actually is pretty helpful, as we will see in the next scenario. So in the second scenario, we modify the agent's actions. And in this paper, researchers use formal methods. And they start with the environment, which is Markov decision process, and they turn it into something called a transition system. Now, similarly, they have a set of safety requirements that the agent should adhere to, and they turn them into specifications in linear temporal logic. And then they bring these two things together with reactive synthesis to generate a shield. And this shield has the formal mathematical guarantees of ensuring that the agent never does a dangerous action. And what this means, let's take a look at the first trajectory again. Now here, the shield isn't used, and it's exactly the same as before. So we get a bunch of minus ones and 100 at the end. But when we take a look at the second trajectory, now when the agent should go through the water, the shield will actually prohibit it from happening at all. So instead, the shield will send the agent in some other direction, and the agent will never experience going through the dangerous state. And so this here we have safety during both training and deployment, and compare this with the modification of the optimality criterion, where we, you know, only had safety during the deployment phase, not the training phase. However, it comes at the cost of being able to specify the transition system. So, you know, this can actually be pretty difficult if we don't know the Markov decision process, or we can't specify the transition system. Or if we don't know the safety specifications, we can't use the reactive synthesis to generate a shield at all, right? So there is a trade-off. This approach is much more manual, but what it enables us to do is guarantee more safety during the training and deployment phase. And yeah, thank you.
Do we have any questions?
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I had a quick question about the shielding aspect when we're basically blocking an action. because we've decided it's unsafer or the like. In this circumstance, when the AI or the reinforcement learner is not able to expand in this direction because it's been blocked and it doesn't understand that part of the state space, what if down the line it ends up in a scenario where it like violates the safety because it came across it from a different trajectory? How would we be able to train it away from that? Because it's, I'm not sure if I explained the,
Yeah, that's a good question. The agent can never violate the property if we specify the transition system correctly. If we make a mistake there, or if we don't understand the Markov decision process properly, that means if we don't know the transition function in the Markov decision process, for example, then obviously we'll get garbage. And that's true of all formal methods. You know, that if you don't specify the transition model correctly or the specifications correctly, then you are not guaranteeing anything. So it's completely dependent on us having that knowledge and the capability of making that transition system.
Got time for one more. There you go.
Hi. In your example, the rewards for falling in water of the environment was only minus one, but we're saying that's deadly, that's unsafe, we need to avoid it. Why are we not just addressing this by fixing the environment? Why don't we address this simply by fixing the environment?
Right. Okay. That's a good question. We can't modify the environment because the environment is not in our control. And so the transitions will happen whether we want it or not. And now the question is, how do we train the agent to avoid it? And in this example, we punish the agent with minus 100 points, and over time it will realize in the neural network, for example, that these trajectories involving water are just not worth it, and it will start avoiding them. Right? But we can't do anything about the environment. The environment is given, and we can't modify it in any way. Yeah.
All right, y'all, give Crispin another round of applause.